Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a happy Wednesday to you on this Valentine's Day. Another long day for the suit. Every year he sits in the office hoping there will be an outpouring of support of Valentine's pouring in. We try to remind him it's not third grade, it's real life, but that is something that, you know, he always called it the best time of his life. Because everybody was forced to give everybody else Valentine's, he thought it was all for him. You got to give him credit.
I laugh when you say that because that's exactly what I had to do this morning. We missed one and had to do one quick for third grade.
You missed one person?
Yeah, we were looking through and doing a double check, and we missed one name, so we had to do one quick.
Oh, jeez.
That's a nightmare, man. You know that.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah. It's also Sue Paterno's birthday, by the way.
Oh. It's a lot of people's birthday today, I saw. It's my daughter's birthday, too, actually.
Oh, happy birthday. What's your daughter's name?
Madeline.
Madeline. Well, happy birthday, Madeline.
Hopefully she's in school. She's a little young to be out and about right now. She's only nine. She's only nine today. If she got out, there's going to be some issues.
Oh boy. laying down the law.
Sounds like it, but not really.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll get to Penn State basketball. We've got Nate Bauer on at 1:35, I believe.
Correct.
We'll talk to him about the conversation yesterday with the second-year players in the Penn State program and what he picked up. The college football playoff board of managers will be voting next Tuesday on a model that would include the five highest ranked conference champions and the next seven highest ranked teams in a 12-team playoff format. Okay. A format change that everyone feels will get unanimous backing as long as the Pac-12 agrees to it. Now, the Pac-12 should agree to it. And here's the reason why. They're actually better off with seven at-large teams as opposed to six. Here's the reason. Back in October, very quietly, they passed a rule that in order to be considered for an automatic bid, you had to be in a conference with a minimum of eight schools. The Pac-12 misses by a mile. They have two. They're six short. So that's the reason in the end the Pac-12, Oregon State, Washington State will vote yes on this, because they actually have an exponentially better chance of getting in just by opening up one more spot for an at-large team, because as a conference champion, there's only two of them. And they don't qualify. They still would be in the at-large pool, which, if they vote no, would be at six. If they vote yes, will be at seven. See where I'm going here, Todd?
Yeah.
That's why I think that they'll do it.
Hypothetically, if they vote no, who gets? I wonder which conference they would give the automatic berth to.
Well, it would depend on it's the highest ranked champion.
Okay, so it wouldn't matter.
So it wouldn't matter. It would go to, let's just take the Big Four first of all. Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12. Then maybe it's the American champion might be the next highest ranked. And maybe it's the Conference USA champion that might be the next highest ranked. Just throwing out. Or it could be the Mountain West champion that's the next highest ranked. Whatever. But for Oregon State and Washington State, they don't qualify. You know, they have a temporary scheduling partnership because they're playing each six Mountain West opponents next year. But it doesn't count toward a conference championship. And that's why, in the end, I think they will vote in favor of it. Now, where it goes on revenue distribution and so forth, that part I don't know. Because Oregon State and Washington State are both sitting there as a two-team conference. Well, they don't have eight, so they can't qualify for the any of the automatic qualifiers. But what does it mean for conference distribution? And because under the new TV contract, everybody's getting more money. The new TV contract, which will come into play, it's a six-year contract extension, is 6 years, $7.8 billion. So that's $1.3 billion per year. This gets them through the 2031 season. Okay? And if you saw what Peacock paid, which then subsequently what Amazon pays for next year's playoff game, they both paid, Peacock paid $110 million this year, and Amazon's going to pay $110 million next year. This contract is for $118 million per game. Now, ESPN can still sublicense the games in the playoff to other networks. But in the end, they have control of it. And at 12, they will continue to have 12 over control over it, because the opening weekend, for example, first game's going to be Friday night, December 20th, and then three games on the 21st. You can easily put them on ESPN, ABC, whatever, and handle it. Same thing. And then when it gets to New Year's Day, I don't know if you want to do one game New Year's Eve and then three New Year's Day. I don't know.
Those New Year's Eve numbers were pretty bad for the CFP, though. I think they'll try and avoid that as much as possible.
Well, the four quarterfinal games, three of them are going to take place on the first. I think logistically you have to be able to now sit there and say, now what do I do? You can do three of them. Three of them on New Year's Day is no problem. They're going to definitely do three on New Year's Day. So that's okay. So I can tell you that's the part of the schedule. What they need to determine now is whether they put the fourth game on Tuesday, December 31st or Thursday, January 2nd. And they do have to make that decision. Because they're going to play one game on the 20th, a Friday night. Prime time. They're going to play three on the 21st. Oh, and by the way, the NFL is scheduling games on the 21st. They don't care. The NFL, to its credit, the NFL really is all about the NFL. they could care less about anybody else. So the idea now is now you get to New Year's Day. There's three on New Year's Day no matter what. And it really is the max you can do with that. You really can't have a fourth one on New Year's Day. It's just logistically, it's hard to do. Because now, let's start at 11 a.m. and the last game kicks off at 10:30. You can't do that. That's too... Ugh. So you have to figure out what to do with the fourth game. Like I said, the first one, the fourth game is going to be Friday night, December 20th. Now you have to ask yourself, because Todd's exactly right, the New Year's Eve broadcast has been, right? And that's the college football playoff's fault because they originally moved it to New Year's Eve. It's like, really?
It was an experiment. A failed one.
Yeah, but it's a one that failed that everybody told them was going to fail.
Well, that's never stopped anybody before.
I mean, everybody told them, no, keep it on New Year's Day. Figure out how to do it New Year's Day. Work around it. I could have worked around it. The two semifinal games, you play the first one before the Rose Bowl and the second one after the Rose Bowl. What the heck? I mean, it doesn't take a brain to do that. It makes no sense. But that aside, that's now in the rearview mirror. So now what do you do? What would you prefer, New Year's Eve or January 2nd?
I think
Tuesday versus Thursday.
I think the TV audience would be bigger on a Thursday. People are used to that Thursday night game for football.
Good point.
That's been a night for football for a while now. I think Thursday night's probably the better choice.
Good point. I'm with you. Well thought out. So.
Oh, man. That's a lot of football. Not that I mind, but it's a lot of football.
It is a lot of football. But we're also at that time of the year where, okay, New Year's Day, first of all, we're enjoying football. This year, the college football playoff numbers were off the charts. I mean, was it any coincidence that, again, brands mean something? So you've got Michigan, Alabama, big brands. All right? And the other semifinal, you got Washington and Texas. I mean, Texas is a big brand. Washington's not bad. And you've got it at the Rose Bowl and at the Sugar Bowl, and you've got the games on New Year's Day, which is the day everybody is used to calling. You know, people are used to New Year's Day football. So,
I'm interested to see, you know, we talked about opt-outs and all that stuff during the bowl season is. With that championship game January 20th, I don't think there will be, but that's going to be interesting to see if anybody opts out that late.
No. No, nobody's going to. If somebody opts out of a championship game, I'm not drafting them. I don't care how good they are. That tells me you're all about you and not about your team. And I've been around athletes where it's about them and not about the team. And it just is one of those, I mean, all it does is hurt everybody, including the person that where it's all about them. And I've been around those players. I've been around them. Especially maybe more so in basketball, because it's 5-on-5 as opposed to football. I mean, football, you know, bigger teams and so forth. You know, you're talking about, you know, playing, 60 to 75 guys. So it's a little bit different for it to be all about them. In basketball, 5-on-5, you can have somebody out there, it's all about them. And all they do is repeatedly hurt the team over and over again, right? And in the end, other people see it and they don't help themselves. I don't want selfish players. You're going to succeed if the team succeeds. Believe me, everybody will notice you as a winning player. So if you're telling me that somebody will opt out of a championship game on the 20th because it's late, right? I will not draft that person. I don't care if they're the Heisman Trophy winner. I don't care if they're the odds on, no doubt, taken first overall. I do not want a selfish player on my team. There are other fish in the sea.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, you know, a star-making performance in the semifinal or the final would do wonders for your draft status, but it's just, it's... You know, like we talked about before, people get into kids' ears and sometimes wrong decisions get made.
then I don't want that player.
Well,
I do not want. There's so many fish in the sea. I don't want that player. Who was the starting quarterback on the losing team in the Super Bowl this year? And what round was he drafted in?
Well,
there's a lot of fish in the sea. I mean, Mahomes wasn't the first overall pick. He was 10th. I'm sorry. Okay? You'd be amazed at how disruptive that kind of personality can be in your locker room, on your practice field, and in a game. Okay? Basketball? One of the elements, and this is where Jared Goff has overcome it to his credit, right? One of the elements that is a negative on drafting somebody as a quarterback is if your team had a losing record when you played. And there's research to back up what your NFL record is. Like, you weren't a winning quarterback. And I'm not saying that Goff was the reason Cal didn't have a winning season. It's a big team. Right? But in basketball, okay, in basketball, I want to draft really good players that were on winning teams. I want to recruit really good players that were on winning teams. I want to get guys out of the transfer portal that were with winning teams. I don't want the leading scorer of a team that just lost all the time. Okay? There's more to it than just the numbers. Okay? I want guys that, whether it was high school or in the portal, college, whatever, that bring a winning DNA into my locker room.
I mean, I don't disagree. It's just one of those things where it's a different world these days sometimes, and I kind of think that way sometimes just because it does happen more than it probably should, and it wouldn't surprise me if it does happen. But yeah, I kind of agree with you that would be a major red flag for me as well.
Wouldn't draft him. Now somebody else has a different flag, but I wouldn't draft him. Guess what? Okay? When it came time, when the money was on the table, you quit. Well, I had to make sure I was... No. You quit. You made a commitment, and then you quit. Because it was better for you. I'm sorry. And guess what? I don't have to draft you. I don't have to. That's what got me about what Holly Roseman did with Jalen Carter. Okay? I wouldn't have drafted him. And did you see the tweets he put out with one of the 49ers?
That whole 49ers thing is a mess.
No, but did you see what Carter put out?
I saw what he originally said. I did not realize that they apparently went back and forth for a while last night.
I mean, what he wrote was like, I don't want him in my organization. And you, look at the way that's like, no, it's not worth it. That's me. Okay? Maybe I'm too old school, but no, I don't. Okay? I want winning DNA personality-wise and... Okay? And when it comes to the accident that happened down there, it was so awful. But he left and went back to his apartment from everything that I've read and how I understand it. Don't want that person. All right. Somebody we do want is Nate Bauer. We think he's a winner. He's next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department, routine, difficult to handle it all. at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I said in the previous segment that if I'm recruiting or I'm looking in the transfer portal, I want winning players. The definition of that, Nate Bauer, sir. Welcome.
Oh, wow. What an intro. Thanks for having me.
It's what we do in this industry. We come up with winning intros.
Sure. Well, I'm then flattered. I'll keep coming back. I mean, seriously, this.
That's the entire idea of it. All right. I will start with yesterday because James Franklin and Justin Lustig and then the second-year players all got a chance to talk. What was your impressions of each as you went through it, James, Justin? Start with James first.
Yeah. Let me think. I mean, James was James, right? The conversation kind of runs the gamut, right? I mean, it's February. There was no signing class to speak of. That whole February signing day is a thing of the past, obviously, in terms of its relevance. But it was the first time we've spoken with him since certainly hiring Lustig. There has been some time, right? A few weeks of Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen being on campus, and you know those guys kind of settling in, so that they're, you know, he was able to talk about that. But the thing that stood out to me was two things, really: the conversation regarding the SEC and Big Ten, mm-hmm. in terms of his satisfaction and relief, I would say, that the commissioners of those conferences are being proactive about trying to find a path forward for college football. He gave pretty detailed answers and responses and brought it up a few times, right? It's really the first time that I can remember him being encouraged. It's probably a longer conversation for a different day, but Franklin is not shy about sharing opinions of the state of the game, mm-hmm. which is not true of everyone, right? But he doesn't mind getting into it a little bit in terms of areas that the game is deficient. So that struck me. And then the second part was, certainly conversation regarding NIL and some of the things that Penn State has institutionally and infrastructurally, I would say, that create the conditions for transfer portal success or not. Right, talking about the academic calendar, I thought that was maybe one of the first times that he's talked about that mm-hmm. in those terms, that Penn State's academic calendar being up by a week changes the parameters.
I've talked about that a lot over the years, that it is something to think about because it what it does is it compresses the time for people to make decisions.
Yep. Yeah, so that was James, he was good. I mean, you know, seemed like he was in a good mood, and certainly they're trying to push the program forward, you know, as they work through winter workouts and get into the spring. Justin Lustig was a man of few words. He wasn't big on elaboration, but that's okay, right? It's interesting. You as the media reporters, you want to get a vibe on a guy, and he's, I think, trying to give you the best answers that he can. But at the same time, when it comes to evaluating players and the personnel that he has, it's not, there's no real ability to do that given what the type of work that they're participating in at this point in the year.
Right. You can't. He can't do it until they're out in the spring, and that's even in spring. That's even in scrimmage stuff.
Yeah. And even then, I mean, remember, I think Stacy's first year, they were inside for most of spring practices to the point where, you know, you just really have no idea with your punters in Haluba Hall what they can do and what they can't do.
There are times where you can maybe judge based on which one of the girders they hit.
So that was, but certainly a guy who is from Pennsylvania, has a great affinity for Penn State, and this is a natural fit. I think that maybe some of the odd fits that Franklin has had, I mean, certainly I don't think anybody would argue with the success of Joe Lorig and Stacey Collins over the last few years, mm-hmm. But those were West Coast guys, and they wanted to get back to that area of the country, and so to have a guy now in Justin Lustig, who Penn State has flirted with previously in those job searches, right, it gives them maybe some stability there at special teams coordinator.
Now you get a chance to talk to the second-year guys for the first time.
Yep.
Which allows people to find out that, for example, Carmelo Taylor is allergic to red meat.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is one of those things that happens in life, and if you know about it, it explains why he doesn't put on a lot of weight. But what were a couple of nuggets you were able to glean from that?
Yeah, so certainly in the midst of winter workouts, you have a lot of these guys who weren't early enrollees last year who are going through it for the first time, and the guys who, through winter workouts for the first time, and those guys even who were at Penn State last year are going through it for the second time, and they you can get a sense of how they're adjusting, how they're handling it. Look, like, winter workouts stink. They're not fun for anybody. There are very few guys who look forward to winter workouts, even though
give you two primary examples from a year ago. Abdul Carter and Deni Dennis Sutton last year went through winter workouts for the first time because they were late enrollees.
Yeah. So Jameel Lyons, right? Like, I mean, you name it. Jameel Lyons talking about they do something called aqua bags, which is carrying not that much weight, relatively speaking, but it's water. So it throws them off balance, and it just rips these guys up. I mean, that was, to a man, literally everybody that spoke yesterday that was asked about winter workouts brought up aqua bags as being this awful drill that they have to do. Kills their arms, kills their shoulders, you name it.
Because it's so new. It's new. It's like, yikes.
Yeah. So that was that. Anthony Donko being at tackle, right, and staying at tackle, that is where he appears to be kind of settling in, even though he spent all year last year, most of the season until the very last week, repping at guard. That's interesting. Certainly Penn State has a need there after Caden Wallace and Olufoshanu have moved on. Right, tackle's going to be a thing this spring. It is going to be a competition, and they got some guys vying for those opportunities.
Yeah, no question. All right, so the other part, too, when James looks at the landscape, I mean, the expansion of the college football playoff has a chance to be really good. Look, everybody has to realize that since 2016, for the most part, with the exception of maybe two seasons, Penn State's been in the top 93 to 95% in the country. The problem is only the top 3% made it. I mean, and that's how close they've been, and like, and it's hard for people to accept that.
It's just, this is something that I've been talking about for a long time. It was an absurdist system, and there are those who are still out there who cling to this notion of what college football should be in the quaint, like, I don't know, love affair with two or four teams being more than enough to represent fairness in this major sports playoffs. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's been ridiculous for a long time. As I was watching the NFL playoffs, right, even before the Super Bowl, thinking to myself consistently, week in, week out, there are people who exist who would prefer that the wild card and divisional rounds of the NFL, right? Can you imagine that being your opinion? Oh, I don't want this. Let's skip straight to the championship round of the NFL playoffs.
Yep.
All right, and the argument is, oh, that's the NFL. College football is different. No, it's not. Stop it.
No, it's not at all. I mean, that's what strikes me about it, is that some of the greatest moments in the NFL playoffs have been in the other rounds and not the Super Bowl.
Totally. And people flock to it, right? There's a reason. In any case, I digress. This is certainly expansion of the playoff is good. I don't think, I'm sure you're tapped into this, Steve. Like, this isn't done, right? This is not the final version of where this is going for this sport. The Big Ten and the SEC in cahoots now is significant. Right? It is going to change the way that this plays out. I will not be surprised if there is a different version of the playoff, even than what, right? I mean, everybody's been so concerned about guarantees for conferences and those types of things.
That'll change next Tuesday.
What if the SEC and Big Ten just do it themselves?
Right. I mean, they could, because it's going to change next Tuesday, because they subtly passed a rule in October that you have to have 8 schools in a conference. So the 2 Pac-12 schools are not going to stand in the way now, because it actually reduces their chances of getting in the playoff. Right. It's going to go 5-7 next week. But whether that's enough, I don't know.
And look, structurally, there's so many things about operationally how the NCAA works that just aren't compatible with fairness, I mean, in every way, right? And I don't begrudge the notion of the NCAA and what it attempted to do at one time in its history, but that's over. That's over, yeah. Right? And NIL has changed that. Removing the barrier, right, like NIL cannot be long-term what the funding mechanism is for college player salaries, effectively.
Yeah.
It can't.
Right.
It can't. And so I think that what you've seen is, while there has been, and Franklin talked about it yesterday in a different context, the swinging of the pendulum, that's what he talks about, right, is how it goes back and forth and back and forth. Well, you've seen this swing immensely toward fairness for players in terms of how players are compensated, whether that's by an education or more than that. Mm-hmm. That has been a great progress for players and the participants, the people who actually make the game. Well, they've got to swing the pendulum back, not against the players, but against the unfairness of competitiveness in the game that has been created because of it. It's not about, like, certain programs having an advantage over another. It's, hey, this is wildly unstable. Right, the notion of the transfer portal windows, to have free agency before your postseason. Lane Kiffin talked about it before the Peach Bowl. Like, it's crazy. And so, yeah. I think where you're headed is a much better, more sense-making place. And it might be painful to get there eventually. It might not be right away. But I think that's what the Big Ten and the SEC are aiming to iron out.
There's also another part, too. There's some talk about maybe a small expansion of the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll see how that plays, but that's been broached as well. But you look at next year's Big Ten tournament, 15 of the 18 are going to be going. That means three are out. Chris Holtman, by the way, has been fired today by Ohio State.
Yep.
But to me, that is a move that is a coach killer. I mean, that's a coach killer. To the three teams that don't make it, that's a coach killer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. This is probably not an opinion you care about, but I think it's absurd to fire a college head coach with a month left to play in the season.
I don't understand that move. I do too. Who knows? Between, because Gene Smith's leaving, Ross Bjork starts in the summer. Who makes the decision as to whether he's out? Who makes the decision on who the next head coach is?
Yeah, to anyone who is attempting to still make the argument that this has any relationship, that college athletics has any relationship to college, right, no. to institutions of higher education, these are the kind of things that, right, barring a scandal of which nobody knows anything about, right, like nobody is accusing Ohio State and Chris Holtmann of having anything in the closet. It is purely performance-based. They're saying because a team is 4-10 in the Big Ten, that they should axe their head coach. I mean, it's not right.
Well, what has been one of the issues he's had? He's recruited well enough where I think there's been every once in a while a surprise or two that have opted for the NBA draft after the first year. Branham is one of them. They never thought Branham was going to be a one and done. And he ended up being a one and done. And guess what? That means Chris has to figure out how to replace him and couldn't.
Yep. No, it's certainly over the years you've seen, what's interesting to me and the broader conversation of college coaching, right? And so I'm specifically talking about men's basketball and football, is it as much or more being a general manager than it is anything else, right? I mean, it is overwhelmingly about not what your approach to the game is. It is about how do you manage the roster, how do you acquire talent, how do you manage your coaching staffs and the people that you surround in the program. I mean, and fundraising. Like that's what being a head coach means at this level. Again, I'm cross-pollinating here, but Chip Kelly, from head coach at UCLA to offensive coordinator, it's not because he doesn't want to coach. It's because he does want to coach.
That's right.
Right? You can't coach if you're a head coach. That's not part of the job responsibility anymore of what that position means. So it's just a very, very interesting time in college athletics.
And you always make it a lot more fun to talk about. So,
hey, that's what I'm here for.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll see you a little bit later.
Thanks so much, Steve. See you tonight.
And Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Great work as always. Great talking with him. We will come back more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 6:30 tip off, 6 o'clock airtime. Penn State tries to get back to even in the Big Ten, trying to get to 7-7. And, of course, you're trying to hold, again, it's important to hold serve when you are playing at home. Now, they did it last week against Iowa. They need to do it again. Keep holding serve, and then maybe you can break serve someplace else to get yourself above 500. So that's tonight. And Michigan State beat them with complete ease the first time. But that was the first time. Right? Now the speed of which they do things and so forth, they're well aware of. And Penn State's just playing. Michigan State's playing better now, but Penn State's playing way better now than they were before.
When we ran the preview yesterday, I forgot how poorly they were shooting at the beginning of this year, man.
Yeah.
I think they were 4-29 of that game.
Yeah. Just didn't shoot the ball well and fell behind. They got behind, way behind early, and it was an entire uphill game after 4 minutes. Okay. You know, it's like it's... So let's see what they can do tonight. I think it's got a chance to be a really, really good game tonight.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.